Good morning. Welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining with us this morning. A few announcements before we get our worship started this morning. First, I want you to know our Tuesday night Bible study continues. We meet every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And if you need that information, either check your email if you get the church email distribution, or reach out to me or the office and we can make sure that you get that information. We're working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we're now, I think, 4 weeks in, and we are still in the second chapter, but making good progress. So plenty of time left if you want to join us. Also, we are working on forming. We have gotten a few people on board and are forming a team. And this team's job is to look at and understand what all we would need to do as a church in order for us to begin gathering again safely. As the state of Ohio begins opening things back up, and we begin hearing more and more about this reopening and that reopening, I know many of you are asking the question, Pastor, what about church? Well, the answer is we're working on it, but we want to make sure that when we do reopen, we do so safely and effectively, and that we take great care in our love of neighbor by how we reopen church. When we do gather again, things may look a little different. We may worship a little different, but we will worship God nonetheless. But please know that we will keep you informed as we go on this journey. It may be a while yet until we gather again, but we will let you know as we continue to work to find a way to safely gather. Finally, we know that there is need, now more than ever, and so our Wednesday night meals are continuing. They are being served from 5:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday evenings, drive-through only, and we ask that you enter off Center Road so that you can come and follow the flow of our parking lot. Please note that if you come and get out of your vehicle without a mask on, we are not going to be able to help you. We require that if you're going to be getting out of your vehicle, you be wearing a mask. We also ask for the safety of our volunteers that if you have a mask, you could wear it if possible, even if you're going to be in your vehicle. This is for your safety and our safety, as our volunteers will be wearing masks and gloves to make sure that we can be as safe as possible. So now, let us take a moment, process that information, and just take a deep breath and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship as we listen to Zach play our prelude. Thank you.
And now the call to worship. Jesus promised, I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because they do not see him or hear him. But you do. You know him. He lives with and within you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Gather now in our time of prayer. Let us begin by joining in our unison prayer. Please note that this week our unison prayer is done responsively. So I will read a line and then you have a response. We're not reading the whole thing together. So please join with me responsively in the unison prayer. God, our holy parent, watches over us with love and deep compassion. We have not been orphaned. Jesus, our brother and the pioneer of our faith, leads us by truth in word and deed. We have not been orphaned. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, guide, and constant companion, breathes with us day and night. We have not been orphaned. The community of the faithful exists beyond time and space. We have not been orphaned. The word of hope recedes into the past and marches forward into the future, carrying us through life of its way. We have not been orphaned. Thanks be to God. We have not been orphaned. Amen. Now let us continue in an attitude of prayer as we engage in a time of silent prayer and musical meditation. Thank you. Lord, we gather in this space and we are your people. We come before you, before this altar this morning, that we could place our prayers, our concerns, our celebrations, our pitfalls, our joys before you. We live in a time filled with much information, some of it true, some of it false. We live in a time filled with many different kinds of people, some of them deceitful, some of them honest, some greedy, some caring. Yet we ask that you would be with all of us during this time. For we know that you do not play favorites and that you love all of us equally. You strive and ask that we would make hard but safe decisions. We know that you are with us in this time and in all times, O God. Lord, this morning we hear about the work of the Holy Spirit. We hear about the teaching that it will lead us on. We hear about the work that it calls us to. And we ask that you would reveal to us the Holy Spirit's work in our own lives, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we could encounter the Spirit, and that it could say to us, here is what I have called you to do. For such a time as this, I have called you. In this place, I have need of you. Here is a new word for you to take in. We are your people, God, a people who fall down, but who get back up at every chance that we get, a people who need you, and a people who love you. We know that you are with us, that you do not abandon us, and that even when we make poor choices, you pick us back up, dust us off, and say, I am here, I am with you, let's try again. Today, we take this opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit and to try again to be your people. When we may fail and flag, when we may lose sight of how to do what you have called us to do, we know that there is the Holy Spirit and also the teaching of your Son to help guide us in our journey. We may not know how to engage with you on some days, on hard days, and yet we know that your Son came amongst us and taught us a great many things. And he taught us the importance of prayer and a prayer that we can say. That we would have it close at hand when our words would fail us. That we would have it in our time of need as a comfort. And that we would lift it up to you, not as an empty prayer, but as an ideal to which we aspire to live. So now let us join in the prayer our Lord taught as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now you may be wondering, where are we? This is a part of the church that I've never seen before. We are up in the youth room, and this is where our youth hang out often, except that lately we haven't been hanging out up here very much because of everything going on and needing to be safe. But there's another reason that we're up here, and it's for the spectacular view. So let's take it in, shall we? Yes, we get a great view of our altar from up here. Truly, it is a splendid one. And so you may be wondering, why, Pastor, are you all the way up in the youth room to give us a glimpse of the altar all the way down in the front of the church? Why are you so far up there? Well, I've been talking about my family for the past few weeks and the lessons that I have learned from them. And today I'm going to tell you about a lesson that I've learned from my father called thinking for yourself and planning it out. Now, in our scripture for today, we hear that Jesus tells the disciples that the Spirit of truth will be sent and that we will know the Spirit of truth. But that many of the world will not receive the Spirit of truth because they can't recognize it. At a young age, my dad taught us, my brother and I, along with probably many others that he knows and is friends with and works with, the importance of thinking for yourself. It's a difficult thing to do, but I'm pretty sure that many of you who are parents have probably at some point or will at some point say to your children something along the lines of, if everybody else was jumping off of a bridge, would you do it too? These are lessons that we try to teach that are very difficult sometimes, but that are essential and important. Thinking for yourself. It's something that my dad taught me the importance of because he knew that we, my brother and I, along with others, would need to know how to think for ourselves. In a world full of things that try and teach you and tell you what to do and how to do and what to believe, and that it's always from their perspective. There is something important in taking in data, in processing and reflecting on it, and then saying, how do I see that? How does this inform how I view things? There are too many who take in an opinion and say, this is now my opinion, and that becomes the way they view the world until the next opinion comes along, and then that's how they view the world. But that is not who and how we are supposed to live as disciples. As disciples of Christ, we are to be people who hear many different things and utilize the gifts that we have been given and the Spirit of truth that is sent to guide us to discern in the midst of all of these things. Our task is to be a people of discernment who do hard work, to not just be people of whimsy and people of whatever breeze happens to be blowing that 5 seconds. Now, this is a very difficult task, one that I fail at on occasion. And I'm sure many of us fail at on occasion, because it is difficult in the midst of all of the things going on to take time to do this process of discernment. But that's why I was taught about how important it is. And that's why Christ tells his disciples how important it is to receive the Spirit of truth, to recognize what truth is, and to utilize that to sift out the world in which they find themselves, full of those who will not receive and see truth. But I'm also up here because of this. It's a high view of church. Let me give you a better glimpse here. We'll do this whole thing. Look at that. Look at how much church we can see. We can even see the balcony. We have to plan for things. We cannot just jump straight into things. And this is a lesson that I learned from my father, although one that I don't always live into. I apologize. But it's the importance of planning. Now, my dad is an engineer, and there are many jokes about engineers, but some of them are true for a reason. And my father is a planner. When he wants to buy a pair of running shoes, you better believe he'll research running shoes for 6 months and then research sales for 2 months before he finally commits to what kind of shoe and when he wants to buy it, not even necessarily buying the shoe, because it might be a while till that sale hits. When my dad built his rose gardens at the house that I grew up in, he would research different types of roses and say, well, how does this look when it blooms? What kind of soil pH does it need? Which is a thing that apparently exists. He would ask how much sunlight it needs and how much drainage and how much space, and he would meticulously plan out these gardens all along our fences where he could place these roses, where they would get optimal sunlight and optimal drainage and the perfect pH and all this stuff. He is and always will be a planner, someone who looks at the big, long-term picture and asks how things fit in it. This is also part of the importance of what Christ is teaching the disciples about the coming of the Spirit and the importance of keeping the commands, and that is that Christ is saying, you gotta look at the big picture. You cannot simply be one who only looks at this minute and this moment with no regard for what is to come. It is difficult to live this way, moment to moment, and it is difficult to live big picture all the time, but we have to have a sense of where we are going. This is true of church. That's why we're up here right now. Because during prayer time, you may have noticed we were right there, right at the altar, encountering God in that moment. But sometimes we have to take a step back, take a bigger look at what's going on, and say, where is God moving us? Where are we being called to go? Who are we being called to be? Got to have a plan. And that's something I learned from my father, the importance of long-term planning. Because my father loves gardening, something that I have picked up from him. But I also recognize that you cannot simply plant a garden, walk away and say, I think it'll work out. You have to do that work and that research. Will these vegetables grow in full sunlight? Will these not? Are these plants deer and rabbit resistant? Because we have a lot of rabbits and deer. Or are they not? Will they attract them? Are we as a church trying to be better disciples today and tomorrow? And what does it look like for us to live into our discipleship? If we, the church, are a garden, what kind of soil do we need? What kind of plants do we want to be? What kind of climate do we live in? And how does that influence who we need to be? We must discern and be thinkers for ourselves, that we could look at the big picture, the long-term picture, and ask ourselves, how can we witness effectively, not just now, but on the grander scale? The church has been around for centuries, and at times it has not thought well about the future. At times it has only thought about the future. And in the midst of this, ministry happens. But if we, utilizing the gifts that have been given to us by God, and utilizing the power of discernment, the gifting of the Spirit, and the ability to plan long term, and to ask ourselves, are we keeping the wishes and commandments of Christ? Are we loving one another, and are we loving neighbor as self? If we do that, we can be a beautiful, beloved body of Christ, who is thriving not only today, but tomorrow, and in 10 years, and in 20 years from now. Part of the thing that is difficult about long-term planning is recognizing that at some point, we no longer get to be a part of that plan. My parents moved, as many of us do, and as I have already done a few times in my life now, thanks to ministry. And when they moved, my dad left his rose garden. He left his bushes that he had planned out. He left those gardens that he had used a string and a level to measure when he was digging the trenches to build them, and that I had to help with, I might add. Those are no longer a part of him and his life, though they will always be there in his experience and his lived experience. He has come to a point where that is no longer who and where he is and who he is called to be. We too as church do this. We set things in motion. We set legacies in motion. And we ask ourselves, what will this look like? What will this be like? And we may not get to see it come to fruition, but that is part of what it means to be the beloved body of Christ and to be the church. Our job sometimes is to begin things, knowing that we may not be there to see it come to realization, but that God calls us to do that work anyway. The church is centuries old. And I don't think many of us, maybe one or two, that are listening to or are watching this, are even close to that. Sybil Plummer is probably the best example of that, but most of us aren't there yet. But we do things and we create a legacy for others because we recognize ultimately that church is not about us. It's not about me as the pastor. It's not about any one of us that is watching us at home right now or that normally is sitting in those pews down there. But it's about looking at the big picture and about trusting in God and saying we want to do and be the right thing, to be God's people, and to carry that legacy forward for everyone else to come. So we make smart choices now. We engage in discernment now. We do long-term planning now that we could be a body of Christ today, tomorrow, and in 10 years. We think for ourselves now that we would not be creatures of fashion and creatures of habit, but that we would be people and disciples of discernment. My father taught me a lot of things. Gardening, long-term planning, critical thinking, among them. But he also taught me that when it's warm outside, you wear a short sleeve button down. Now, this may be the only short sleeve button down that I own, but I learned that it's okay to wear one when it's hot outside from my dad. Because even when it was at its warmest, and we were still going to church, and he was ushering, he would put on a short sleeve button down because it was summertime. It may not be summer. It may still be spring. But all of us are preparing for new growth in our lives. We are entering a season and are in the midst of a season where we are being challenged to learn new things and to take on that new growth. That may mean that we look a little different. We might have slightly longer hair. We might be wearing a short sleeve button down. We might simply just be trying to turn over a new leaf and answer God's call in a new way. But we know that at the heart of everything that we do, we look and trust in God to guide us on that journey. Amen. Now, if you would join us as we sing our next hymn.
Lord, I want.
We come now to our time of offertory in our service. And as we prepare to place our gifts and our offerings on the altar before God, I know that we cannot be here to physically do that today. But there are a variety of ways that we can engage in offering to God. We can give through the church's website. You can drop things off in our secure locked mailbox. Checks only, please, no cash. Or you can also spiritually offer yourselves to God. We are in need of people to assist. We're in need of those to help with Wednesday night meals. We're in need of people to assist during the worship service, to be our liturgist for the day and record the call to worship. And God is in need of people to do things in all walks of life. So may you answer this call and have the courage to place yourself on the altar, to be a living, humble, and honest sacrifice to God, and say, Lord, use me as you will, that I could be more of a disciple for thee today than I was yesterday. Let us now take a moment as we engage in a time of offering. Would you join me as we sing our doxology? Now let us engage in our unison prayer. Lord, we place much upon the altar for you, but most of all we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity. As we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples, may we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. As we depart today, may you know that God is with you, that God has a long-term plan, and that God challenges us as disciples to make our own long-term plans, to utilize the gifts of discernment and the gifting of the Spirit of truth to say, where do you want us to be? Who are you calling us to be? And then to join in that venture. May you know that God is with you today, tomorrow, and every day after, that God loves you, and that no matter who you are, and what you do or what you have done, God will be with you and is with you until the end of time and beyond. Now let us join in our benediction response.
Till we meet again, neath his wings securely hide you, daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again, till we meet.